Good to see everybody here tonight, and it's always a pleasure to be here at Oliver, be back in Lauderdale County, be able to preach the gospel here, and dear friends, Pleasant Valley here tonight, appreciate that. Always privileged to be in the presence of capable gospel preachers. I know we love and appreciate Randy, and of course, David, and love you and appreciate your work, and Sister Melvin as well, Brother Daniel, Sister Ann, of course, Chuck, and a fine missionary in time past. Fine congregation here. We've had a good Lord's Day yesterday. Hope to have a good service this evening and some good singing. I think a very appropriate song to introduce the lesson tonight. The gospel is for all. That's what we've been studying on, the gospel. Go back to the basics. Look at what it is that is the gospel. And see if we can take such a fundamental theme and turn it over a little bit, like we turn over the soil before we plant our gardens. See what good might come from it. That's what we're doing this week. Yesterday, we defined the gospel. And it's very, very simple when you just take the Bible and study what the Bible has to say and allow the Bible to speak to you. The gospel, that's good news, that glad message. It is that message given from God, intended to deal with one issue, and one issue alone, and that's the issue of man in sin. The gospel isn't here. There's no such thing, biblically speaking, of a social gospel. That's something that was contrived by man in the last 100 years or so. There's no such thing as a liberation theology gospel. There's no such thing as a prosperity gospel or any of these other issues. Why, Christ didn't come here to make you rich. Christ didn't come to heal all the social ills of mankind. And Christ certainly didn't come to deal with all of the different race issues and all of that sort of thing. Look, he said, render to Caesar what is due to Caesar, did he not? And when you think about the Roman Caesars, you consider some of the wickedest men who ever lived. Yet Jesus just said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but then more importantly, you render to God what belongs to God. And that's where Jesus put the emphasis. And that's why he came, to seek and to save the lost. God had one son, and he made him a preacher, a gospel preacher. He said, I must preach the gospel to other cities also. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the message that Jesus was preaching. Pilate stood before him and said, art thou king? Jesus said, I will say. But for this reason was I born, for this cause came I into the world, to testify of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to me. So Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted through the gospel preaching, to set at liberty those who were captured, to bind up those who were bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, it all ties back to this gospel message. Lord, why did you come to this earth? Well, it's to seek and to save the lost. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give my life a ransom for me. Now, that's what we said yesterday. Why did our Lord come to earth? What does the gospel say about Jesus Christ? There are certain facts about Christ that must be understood. And when we speak of Jesus, we're not speaking of any mortal man. We're not speaking of just a good moral man, a good philosopher, someone who lived a good, godly, pure life, someone that we can look at and say, oh, this man had some good teachings, he had some moral teachings, he lived a good life, he lived a moral life, he is to be emulated in this way or that. No, you consider Jesus only in those terms. You miss who Jesus is altogether. Unless and until we know him as the crucified Savior of the world, and until we accept him as God with us. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Until we accept the fact that Jesus Christ was deity clothed in humanity, we miss Jesus altogether. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. When you hear Jesus, you hear the Father. And so he speaks with all authority in heaven and earth. All the authority of God is fully. And so when we read the words of Christ, the commandments of Christ and of his holy apostles, then we have all the authority of heaven right there before our eyes. And it's for us then to submit our hearts unto him and to obey the commandments that are found in the gospel. So there are facts about Christ in the gospel. There are commandments from Christ in the gospel. And then we studied also there are blessings, there are promises to be inherited, to be received, that come in Christ and through the gospel. Now that's what we talked about yesterday. So just keep that in mind. Facts about Jesus. You want to know what is the gospel? Well, these are the facts about Jesus. The biblical, heaven-authorized, heaven-given facts about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he came to do, and even what he's doing now, about his kingdom, his church, the facts about Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his plan of salvation, his coming again someday to receive us unto himself, his being the way, the truth, the life, and the only avenue to God. No man can come to the Father except by then we study the commandments, the plan of salvation, what the Bible teaches about worship, what the Bible teaches about the church, what Jesus commanded about the Christian home, about the Christian life, the commandments of God found in this gospel. And we don't neglect those, we don't slight those in any way, because they come from God. They are God's word. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that will judge him. For the word that I spoke, the same should judge him on the last day. The word that I spoke will judge him. The Bible will read exactly the same on the judgment day as it reads right here tonight. And Oliver congregation, June the 3rd of 2024. You know what, folks? The Bible reads exactly the same on this June the 3rd as it did the last June the 3rd. All the ones before that, all the one before that, all the one stretching back 2,000 years. See, God's word doesn't change. Forever recorded in heaven are his holy precepts. Well, these precious promises, these blessings, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, but God has prepared for those that love him. All spiritual blessings in Christ, this too is the gospel. So Jesus came to settle this issue of man and his sin and to reconcile man to his Father through his precious blood. This, my beloved brethren, is the gospel. Now, what we turn our attention to tonight is the relevance of this gospel. I want to speak to you about the one work that the church has to do. Now, let's just take this and let's make it as plain and simple as we can. You realize we've got one job to do. All right, I advise your attention first to Matthew chapter 28. Let's read beginning in verse 18. Father, Jesus the Christ, before his ascension into heaven, after his resurrection from the grave, we know there was a 40-day period that he was teaching his apostles things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We know this from the first chapter of Acts. So during this 40-day period, just before his ascension into heaven, he gives this declaration. We call it the Great Commission. Great in its scope. Great in its importance. Great in the obligations that are placed upon man. The responsibilities of man to carry forth this charge. But notice all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you might recall Jesus in Mark chapter 2 and verse 10. He says the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Well now he's saying after his resurrection, I not only have authority on earth, but I have all authority in heaven and earth. And then what does he say? Go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how we make disciples. And then teaching them to observe, notice, all. Boy, that's a mighty big little word, isn't it? All things that I have commanded you, not as commanded. Commandments from Christ in the gospel. All things that I have commanded, and then notice the blessing, the promise. Lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. I'll never leave you or forsake you. This is the promise of the Lord. All right? look at that once more. We're given one command, one thing to do, one job, and that's to make disciples. All right, now let's take another look at the Great Commission from Mark's account. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16. Therefore, what does it say? Preach the gospel to every creature, all nations, every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Disbelieves shall be damned. All right, plain enough is, again, you'll notice there's one work to be done. Preach the gospel. Go teach all nations. Go preach the gospel. All right, now let's go to the Great Commission of Luke's account, chapter 24. Start there, verse 46 or so. Back up a couple of verses, but I think maybe verse 46, verse 47 would be fine. Now, you read there and see how to do Christ, teach himself. You see that? You should be buried, teach you rise again on the third day. You see that verse? And then notice the next verse. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to who? All nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now, that's what happens in the book of Acts. The gospel is preached first in Jerusalem and Samaria. And unto, well, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So the gospel was to be preached to all nations. Well, where's it going to start? In Jerusalem. Well, who was going to do it? The church. We had one job to do. Now, listen, Jesus is just about to ascend to the right hand of God. And he looks to his apostles and he says to them, guys, we have one thing for you to do. And what is it? Preach the gospel. Now, he didn't listen to him carefully, and I hope, boy, I hope this is just as sober as a cold splash of water. He did not say to them, go build hospitals. Didn't do it. He didn't say to them, go feed the orphans. He didn't do it. He didn't say, go clothe the widows. Go house the widows. He didn't do it. He didn't say, go start a new political party, a new movement, a new social cause that will house the homeless. We need more homeless shelters and soup kitchens. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Now, why didn't he do it? Wouldn't you like to know? Because in this one command, preach the gospel. If the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, is preached, it's heard, it's believed, it's obeyed, it's followed, all of these other things are going to occur. If a man is truly converted to Christ, what's he going to do? He's going to take care of the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. Why? Well, this is pure religion. This is undefiled before God and the Father. This is God's will. What's he going to do as far as social causes? A black man, a red man, a yellow man, a white man, he doesn't see any color because he realizes the blessed gospel is for all. Go teach all nations. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He realizes a black man stands just as much responsible for his soul and his actions as a white man does before the throne of God. But that man has a soul the same as he does. And a soul that is going to be accountable to God. And so all of a sudden, then color doesn't make any difference. And he says, well, now what about these hospitals and taking care of the sick and all of this? And well, he does these things as well. Because he realizes as he does it to the least of these, he does it to his Savior, his Lord in heaven. You see, by preaching the gospel, all of these other things will work themselves out. Now, what I'm drawing your attention to is this. As the Church of Christ, my dear friends, we must never lose the emphasis and the importance and place of preaching the gospel. It is the primary thing that we're to be doing as citizens of the kingdom of God. It is the primary thing. And I believe we've lost our way. I think we've gotten carried away with all sorts of activities. All sorts of things. Bothers me. Men's meetings bother me. Because because we'll spend more time speaking about carpet in the building than we will the soldiers that need to hear the announcement. We've lost our way. Is it any wonder why the Lord's church hasn't grown in this country since 1980? According to all the census, all the things that the brethren put out, the directories and so forth. 1980. My dear friends, that's 44 years that we've been in decline in this country. Now the church is growing all over the world. I can tell you that. There are more Christians now in Nigeria than there are in the United States. That's a fact. There are more congregations of the Lord's church, I understand, in Malawi than there are in the United States right now. All the gospel is still powerful. But brethren have to be unabashed in their conviction and affirmation of the truth of God's word. Man, stand up. I'm going to tell you, the body of Christ needs a backbone. And if we are not to preach the gospel, then who will? Well, anyway, that's enough. Let me say this. I'm going to illustrate what I'm saying to you tonight. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll allow God's word to make an illustration for us on this particular point. Now, I will say, as you turn it there, you do realize that we can house all the widows and feed all the orphans till they're just fat and sassy as I am. And then we lost and go to the devil's head if we don't preach the gospel. You do understand that. You can deal with all the social issues and still lose the soul if the gospel isn't preached. You see, so where does our emphasis need to be? Well, let me read to you tomorrow in each newspaper. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is all right's newspaper. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They have done. Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Then he speaks of this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You mentioned one such silly woman long ago, over. You know, her daddy was one of Marshall Peoples' preacher students. Did you know that? Silly women laden with sin. That woman has done more mischief, more harm in the minds of women in this country, I suppose, than any other woman alive. The New Age philosophy of all the garbage that she spews. Ask Oprah if she believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and see what she says. Now, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father without me. Well, what does Oprah say? It doesn't matter what Oprah says. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Because they're not God. And they're not authorized to speak the words of God. But Jesus is. So listen to him. Here you have tomorrow morning's newspaper. You tell me if this isn't the world that we're living in. Just look at it again. Lovers of their own selves. Reckon we live in a selfish world today? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. People just seem to blaspheme the name of God so easily, don't they? Disobedient to parents. That happening today? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Woman has a baby, doesn't want it. Boyfriend says, I don't want to have a child. Woman, what does she do? She just discards that baby off in a lake or a dumpster or something like that. Without natural affection.
truce breakers.
They can't keep their word, not only that, but they're false accusers. They're incompetent in the fears. Can't please the fears. They're despisers of those that are good. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What's wrong with our country today? Well, we're living for the here and now. We're living for the passing pleasure of sin. We're just filling up our cup with things of no eternal significance. Filling our day, our time, our energy, giving our thoughts, our worries, our cares to things that won't be worth a bale of hay on the judgment day. While we let our soul just slip further and further and further away from God, the one who truly loves us. Well, this is tomorrow morning's newspaper. Is it not? He reminds us of Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. He says, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. There's also one. Now, in this world that Paul just described, Paul gives one answer to Timothy. And it's not the social things, it's not the things that we're speaking of. It's not the charitable work. It's not the benevolent work. It's none of that. You realize you can be just as benevolent as a human possibly could and still not change this world. You realize that, don't you? You can give all of your goods to feed the poor, and this world will not change one bit. The greatest thing you can do to change this world, Paul tells Timothy to do in chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Now that's all he told him to do. In this world, with these men being lovers of their own selves, these women who are led away with diverse lusts, these folks who are reprobate concerning the faith and corrupted their mind, goodness, what do we do about that? Paul preached the word. Paul, this woman over here is without natural affection, doesn't even love her own children. What do we do about that? Preach the word. Well, Paul, what do we, we've got brethren over here who have a reprobate faith. They're leading the faith right and left. What do we do about that? Preach the word. Paul, we're living in a society that's just overcome with worldly pleasures. They love pleasure more than they love God. What do we do about this, Paul? Preach the word. That reminded me of a great evangelist named Brother Frank L. Cox. I don't know if any of you remember Brother Cox. He was a very prolific writer. But back years ago, when Faulkner University was called Alabama Christian College, he was invited by Rex Turner Sr. to speak to the preacher boys. That's what they call them, preacher boys. And he gave his lesson. And then there was time for question and answer, where the young men sitting out in the auditorium could ask their Bible questions to Brother Cox, or ministerial questions, receive some mentoring from Brother Cox, this great gospel preacher. Many years' experience, great man of the faith. So these young men just chomping in the bit, and every one of them had a question for Brother Cox. Well, Brother Cox, what are we doing in this scenario? Preach the word. Brother Cox, what do we do about this? Preach the word. Another student raised his hand. Brother Cox, what do we do about this? Preach the word. One old preacher thought, young man thought he'd really step and give him some kind of hard question. Brother Cox didn't give this question. Preach the word. Every answer that Brother Cox now, was he being flippant? No. He was nailing home a point. What do we do? This world that's jumped off the rails. Preach the word. If ever there was a time that the world needed to hear the gospel, I say to you, that time is now. And brethren, if we're not the ones preached in New Orleans, I think I'm talking to some of the finest people in Lauderdale County tonight. And brethren, if I can't convince you to preach the gospel, what chance do I have with those folks down at McDonald's or wherever they go? preach the word. All right, now, before we even get to the preaching of the word, here's what we need to do. Let's back up just a little bit. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from childhood thou hast known the whole descriptions, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation that he speaks of the inspiration of the Bible. What's Paul saying here? Timothy, from a child you have known the word of God. Timothy, you've been taught it from your mother, he would say this in chapter 1, from your mother and your grandmother. He's saying here, you've been taught it from me, and it continued in me. You've got this knowledge, you've got this basis of understanding. And so now what? Preach the word. Preach the word. So this solemn charge before God, before the Lord Jesus, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Well, that means whether it's popular or not. To reprove, to rebuke, sometimes, yes. To exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's a lot in that word, long suffering. They'll knock you down. What do you do? You're going to get back up. With all long suffering and doctrine. The world takes the wind out of your sail. All your best friends in life betray you like you just did the Lord. What do you do? Preach the word. All long suffering and not. Paul had this mentality. But he also knew the time would come, and I'm saying to you, it has come. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, this is what's going on. We don't want to. No, we don't want to hear. But we're ignorant, we're arrogant. We don't know, we don't care. And so that's why people like our friend over have the platform that they have. Why is it that people like them who spew such foolishness have such an audience? Because we're ever learning and never ever come to the knowledge of the truth, because we're heeding to ourselves teachers. We don't know the truth, and we don't care to know the truth. We're content to live in our sinful ways and to find anybody who will tell us that we're okay to do. That's not the job of the church. Our job is to preach the word, not to say, oh, sugar, it's okay. You just go on living in your sin. God, if there is a God, will understand. Oh, that's the doctrine of the word. Our job is to stand with that backbone we speak of. And with a heart full of love, and say, let me show you the will of God for your life. And let me help you to live it if you help me to live it. And let's go hand in hand to heaven together. Now, what are we doing then? But we're exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, be turned into fables. But what does it say? Watch that in all things. Endure afflictions. We'll talk about this more tomorrow night, the afflictions that Paul endured. Do the work of evangelists. And indeed, there is work. Boy, I tell you what. It's one of my favorite verses for preacher students. The work of an evangelist. And I was telling Randy earlier about a young man that I met. Said he got into preaching. Because the pay was better and the hours were more flexible. And he would be a greater service if he'd go sell cars than the preacher that kind of sorry had to do. The work of an evangelist. I don't want to stand before my Lord and hear, thou wicked and slothful servant. I don't want to hear that. I want to use myself up to his Lord, don't you? Be worn out in the Lord's service. Nothing left of this old body but a shell. All the goods been spent. All right, Lord, now take it on. Yeah. I don't know what's our thinking, guys. But Paul turns at it and he says, after this state of doing the work in Angeles, he says, well, no, this is what I've done. You see, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And because of this, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also love his appearing. Now, if the Lord Jesus came tonight, I mean right now, would you love his appearing? If he came right now, you heard the shout, you heard the trumpet, and man, every eye is going to see him, you know that. Say the roof of this building snatches plumb off. And our eyes are fixated upon the vaulted skies of heaven. We see the Lord of glory return. Millions of his bright, shining, mighty, powerful angels flooding the heavens. Would you shout, glory, hallelujah, my Lord has come, my love is appearing. Lord, come, O Lord, come. Would you shout, would you be happy? Or would you find yourself ill-prepared? Oh, Lord, not you. Give me just one more invitation song, one more stanza of old, why not tonight? One more chance, one more sermon, one more little bitty sermon. That's all I need to hear. Lord, just a little bitty sermon. One little bitty invitation. That's all I need. I'll come now. I'll come and wait just a minute. You see, we don't know. We don't have that privilege. Paul said, Timothy, here's what you do. You live in this wicked, unbearable, intolerable, often intolerable world, keeping your faith, finishing your course, and keeping your eyes focused on the Lord, returning and giving that crown of righteousness, the reward that's laid up for you. And Timothy, you do all you can to bring as many as you can with you when it comes. Preach the word. Oh, but they're incompetent to preach the word. They're church breakers to preach the word. They're heady in their high mind. They won't listen. They're turning their ears from the truth, Paul, into fables. Don't you know, Paul, how frustrating that is? You know, Paul turned and said, who do you think you're talking to? Preach the word. Paul, you just don't know. We've got this ism and that ism and this doctrine and that doctrine. And these philosophers, he said, you ever hear of Marcion? You ever hear of Athens? You ever hear of Plato, Socrates, Aristotle? You don't think we had philosophers in my day? You don't think we had idolatry in our day? You don't think we had every sort of bias, lewd, bigotness in our day? You don't think we didn't have worldliness in the church? You don't think we didn't have temptation? You don't think the devil wasn't at work at us when he took the strongest, most powerful, mighty emperor in the history of the world and turned him loose on us? Impaled us? Covered us with all and burned our carcasses to his chariot races and his gardens at night? You don't think we suffer? Preach the word. Oh, it's something, folks. I'm telling you, the greatest thing you can do for your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, for this world, for this society, is to share with them the gospel, the facts of Jesus, the commandments of our Lord, and the blessings that come in Him. God, give us the strength. All of that, though, of course, starts with me, doesn't it? I mean, I've got to be the change that I want to see in you. Isn't that fair to say? If I want to make a difference in your life, then that's got to make a difference in my life. I think the most effective gospel preachers have been those, and not only preachers, but Christians, have been those whose heart have been broken by sin and healed by the grace of God, by the cross of Christ. He's come to heal the broken heart. Is your heart broken by sin tonight? Don't let the word depart. Oh, sinner, don't harden your heart. Won't you come? Won't you come? All mercy and grace. well, and free. Fast in the life of God's people, I want it for all. Would you guys give that resounding thanks? Obedience to his counsel, Lord, I come. Having sent the grace of you, thank you for your obedience. Believe every word of the gospel, I will live with you forever. Lord, I obey every commandment you have. I'll fall, but I trust in your goodness and your grace to pick me back up. I'll be tempted, but I trust in your strength to shield. I can lift your rock, O brave, and that is your hope. Keep me ever near your cross. Hide me in the shadow of your cross. Watch over me. I come, O Lord, I come obeying the truth. I come to be baptized. I come to repent of my sins. I come glad to confess my faith in Christ. I come to walk in newness of life, a new birth only you can give. I come, O Lord, won't you do that? Is it not on your heart? Aren't you thinking about it even now? Why not? Why would you do it now? Why would you put it off another day? Why would you risk and gamble with your eternal soul? You want to make a difference in this world. You want to change this world. Begin with yourself. Change yourself, beloved. Change yourself. Be the change you want to see in others. Come to God, the miracle worker, the reformer, the one who can produce that change in the inner man, and let help you to live new every day from here on out. God give you the strength and the grace and the courage to come. Let's stand together.